And welcome everybody to the Bangers and Classics podcast. It's number 52 with me, James Rupper, and him, David Malloy, who reminded me that that sort of marks a year of doing these. I don't know what the point has been, David. Can you help?
Absolutely no point.
No point.
Pointless and futile. That's what I've heard. That's the feedback I get.
Oh, good.
That's just from my wife, I think.
Yeah.
Probably my mother as well, and probably even the animals, they probably think it's pointless and futile as well. But there we go. I care not.
No.
We've got to follow your own path with this one. So, James, we had a guest in the... Ladies and gentlemen, this is the second or third take at this one, because apparently, so there he goes again. we have a guest in the podcast this week. It's Mr. Roland Millward, who will be taking on James at a challenge. But we will come to that later. In the meantime, James... What have you seen?
What have I seen? I've seen lots of things, David, that would, you know, make your hair curl and things like that. But actually, I've seen an absolute motherload of interesting stuff. And I'll have to grab my notebook for that. I had some carryovers from the previous week, but I'm actually going to not carry them over because what I saw was too remarkable. It actually outshone some of those. I saw a fabulous Toyota Land Cruiser. A mid-90s one, and it was prepared for the apocalypse. It was painted grey, it was up on very big wheels, and it was going like the clappers. And I saw it twice. I saw it in the morning, it came past my office window, and then in the evening when I was outside, it hurtled past again. So they're obviously doing stuff, you know, catching zombies and stuff probably with it. So that was quite interesting. A Discovery Bobtail. So the Discovery equivalent of that Toyota Land Cruiser, but it was raised and it looked, again, ready for business. MGBT Hardtop out on a February day. It was very good of them to be out and about in that. Another Bentley Turbo. There's an outbreak of Bentley Turbos in very good condition. Again, it's out in February when there's salt on the road, so they'll probably go home and clean it afterwards, but well done to them. And probably the most remarkable thing was actually a Mondial Ferrari. So, yes, a Ferrari Mondial. It had loads of stickers on it. And I could, because we were going in opposite directions, I couldn't read what the stickers were. It was a bit like somebody going to do one of those banger runs. And presumably they were, because obviously you can get four people in it and to spread the cost. And it's one of the cheaper Ferraris. But it was quite interesting to see that on the road. Made a nice sound. And it looked pretty good. So... that was actually quite a good haul, I thought.
Yes. Well, I saw a car with lots of stickers as well.
Yeah.
Possibly going to the same place. There's a racing number on the side as well, number 7. Jaguar S-Type. Mm. The more modern S-Type, not the one from the 60s.
No.
But, yeah, it was kicking about on the road being driven. Mm. I also saw, and you'll like this because this is right up your alley,
oh, good.
An E30, a BMW E30.
Fantastic.
In Cinnabar Red. Mm. Couldn't tell you what model it was. It had a factory rear wing on it.
Mm.
It wasn't an M3.
No.
But it looked in extraordinarily good condition. It was immaculate bodywork from what I saw. It went past. Obviously, it's a fleeting glimpse, but you can take in a certain amount of detail. And it looked great. And here's the thing. It was being used on a road that... was somewhat grotty and had recently had a liberal application of salt.
Mm.
It was certainly the day or two before it. And whoever was driving it cared not. I've seen the car before. I've seen him use it before. This is the guy who obviously looks after it, but isn't afraid to take it out in, you know, adverse weather conditions.
Yeah.
So well done to him.
Exactly.
And the first person I thought of was you when I saw it.
That's very nice of you, David, that I'm never far from your thoughts. Well, actually, I'm quite far from your thoughts because you very rarely see an E30 these days, but there you go.
Well, there you go. But whenever I see one, I think of you.
That's very nice.
Well, it's only the two other people I know. Well, not even into that. So some news now. I think you wanted to talk about something you watched on YouTube. But first of all, can we start with news of a new classic car and motorsport event north of the border this coming year? And it is the Jackie Stewart Classic. It's being held at Thirlestane Castle. It's in June of this year. It's a classic car show, and there's also a sprint, and there'll be some of Jackie Stewart's cars there from his racing history, and it's promised to be some other people from within and out with motor racing. And the good thing is, it's all for a good cause. It's all for his Race Against Dementia charity. So a very worthwhile cause. I think it's the 18th and 19th of June, www.sirjackiestewartclassic.com. I think that's the correct address. You can find out more there. It's the details are somewhat sparse at the moment. Obviously, as we get nearer the date, they'll flesh out a bit. But certainly very scenic grounds, a very nice part of the country, and probably a thoroughly good couple of days out, and all for a good cause. What more do you want?
No, that's very good, David. Excellent. I don't know if we're going there, David. So it'd be quite nice if we did, I suppose.
I think we should.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll look into that. Your alter ego, David, who is Count Dankula, which I've seen no evidence that this may not be true, that actually once you've finished this podcast, you go off and do your Count Dankula act. And you have a series called Absolute Mad Lads on the YouTubes. And there's a very good one because it's car themed. Mm. And it's worth a watch. And it's about a chap called Helge Meyer. And he was a Danish special forces. And during the Balkan War recently, in the early 90s, he made a difference. He was a force for good. He actually took supplies and food and whatever was needed to people who were stuck behind enemy lines or, who actually couldn't get access to anything. So I've made it sound quite dreary and boring, but if you look into the story, it's probably one of the most remarkable stories sort of ever, really. Sort of a real life superhero. And I know that you've looked at it, David, and sort of agreed, really.
Oh yes, I mean, absolutely. This, as you said, James, this is a guy there should be a film about. It's such a great story.
Yeah,
it's a true story and it's a remarkable story. It deserves to be immortalised and serialised. The trouble is, of course, if Hollywood got their hands on it, they would mess with it, try to over-dramatise it. The truth is dramatic enough.
Mm.
This chap, I believe, tried to volunteer to help all of the major services.
Yeah.
And he was turned down by a lot of them. Nope, don't need you. So he bought, I believe, an old, I think it was about 12 or 13 years old at the time, Chevrolet Camaro from an American air base.
Yeah.
Which, of course, they still were in Germany at the time. And the mechanics in the base, I think, on hearing his plans, decided to help him. And they did a lot of work to the car. I won't go into the absolute detail of what they did, but they basically toughened up this car. They beefed up the engine. They gave it a coat of paint that absorbs radar and various other things. Its power, I think it was only about 120 horsepower in standard form. They tuned it up to double that and then gave him a nitrous oxide injection system. They gave him over 400 horsepower so he could get out of the road quickly, modified the lights. It was like Knight Rider when they finished with it. It didn't drive itself though, but it was pretty much on a par with it. And of course, there was plenty of space created in the car for him to take his supplies in. And they even gave him a Kevlar helmet. Now you would think this chap, being ex-special forces, would carry a gun. He didn't carry a gun, did he, James?
No, he certainly didn't. No.
No.
No, he took with him a Bible, and obviously he would need a knife because you need knives for all sorts of purposes. So that was really just for his own. If he had to unscrew a Phillips head or something, that would come in handy. But no, he went in there completely bravely, and I think it was something like 200 missions. He did, and I think he did get shot in the head, didn't he? And luckily, unluckily, his Kevlar helmet saved him. But I don't think we're spoiling it, and it's good. It's great that he's still around today to tell the tale. But you've really, if you're into cars, just reading about or listening to what they actually did to the car is quite remarkable. But then he went to another level with his own personal bravery, because he just thought this was something he wanted to do to help people in a very dire situation. So it's wonderful that there are people like that.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, obviously, he's still around. And even the car, he's still got the car. It's been painted again since then, but he's still got it. And someone should make a film about this. But do it properly. If you're going to make a film, please just tell the true story. No Hollywood embellishments. It doesn't need them. It really doesn't. It's a fantastic story, and obviously about a fantastic gentleman.
Mm,
Yep, and I don't think we can praise him any higher than that, James.
No, not really.
He gets the Bangers and Classics Gold Seal of Approval.
He is really, yeah. He's a Bangers and Classics hero. We might introduce that medal from time to time. There's very few people deserve them, but
made out of recycled Austin Allegros.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's actually not a bad plan.
No, it's not, is it? Yeah, I'm sure he'd come on the podcast and regale us with his stories.
I'm not going to argue with him, are you?
No, I'm not. No, he's right about everything.
Yeah, that's it. Right. He can just run the show. That's it. Yeah. Anyway, on that somewhat dramatic note, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to the first anniversary episode of the Bangers and Classics podcast. We had hoped to bring you some extravagant and very expensive surprises, but unfortunately, James spent all the money. He donated it to the retirement home for former Hammer horror actresses, which I'm sure you'll agree is a very good cause. And we are back after that little break, and we're going to kick off this segment of the show with the first anniversary banger or classic. Going to sunny France for this one. With a car that came in the late 70s and hung around, certainly in Europe, until the second half of the 80s, and that car is the Renault 18. What are your memories of it, James? What do you think of it?
It's a banger, David. I mean, really, I can't, you know, when that suggestion came through, I just thought, well, yeah, I can't get my enthusiasm levels up for a Renault 18. I thought it was an extremely dull car. I did come across them at the time, and I didn't think they were great. I know the turbo looks slightly interesting, but on the whole, it's just, you know, I just thought it was a very ordinary French saloon, which it was, wasn't it? It was a French saloon, and that's it, really.
Well, there's a bit more to it than that, I suppose.
Am I wrong?
Well, we'll have to find out, won't we?
Yeah.
It really essentially was an updated Renault 12, wasn't it? It was a new body and a Renault 12 platform. Essentially, that's what it was. But Renault marketed it as their first ever world car. And if I remember correctly, the advertising blurb went along something along the lines of meets international requirements. It's not exactly an inspirational slogan. However, it sold well.
Yeah,
it sold very well indeed. I think in its first year in sale in the UK, they sold more than 30,000 of them here, which for an imported car back then, an imported French car particularly, was jolly good. It was it was offered as a three box, so it's a saloon.
Yeah.
And there was a station wagon version.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there?
And it sired the Renault Fuego, which was a bit more interesting, obviously. It was kind of based on the same platform, and it wasn't a terribly exciting car, as you say, but I suppose you'd call it worthy. And there are very, very few left in the UK. There are 23, I believe, left licensed in UK roads. And then, of course, you come to the turbo version, which, considering it had a bigger engine than the 5 turbo, which came along very slightly later on, wasn't that powerful. The 1565cc engine. And the later 5 turbo, I think, with the 1397cc engine, actually produced more power. So it wasn't a ball of fire, but it did help to introduce turbocharging to the mass market, which obviously was a good thing back in the day. And it probably still is, because that's the way manufacturers of petrol cars have went in recent years. They've reduced the displacement of engines, producing smaller engines with a turbocharger to give the same power, but with lower emissions, until, of course, certain people decided that we have to get rid of petrol cars, boo hiss, etc. What would I think of the 18? Is it a classic? Well, no, but the significance certainly of the turbo model, and I suppose the fact it gave rise to the Fuego, pushes me more towards that than it being purely a banger. So If I had to choose between the two, I'd say it's in the classic camp rather than the banger camp. I'm not convinced that it's a copper bottom classic, though. But I'd say more of a classic than the banger. That's probably as far as I can go with it.
Well, that's a very fair assessment. But yeah, I mean, it is just the fact that no one's seen one for such a long time. I mean, as you said, there's only 23 left. It's not surprising.
Yeah, but there's lots of good cars, James, that, you know, that there were very few left of, that just time forgot. Yeah. And particularly cars from, you know, the 80s and 90s, they never attracted the same following as, say, cars from, you know, through the 60s into, say, the mid-70s. There's a bigger following there, well, certainly there was until recently, for cars from the later period of the 80s and 90s. Not really sure why. Possibly because you know, later cars became more sophisticated and therefore harder to maintain at home. Maybe more expensive to maintain. Possibly it. Possibly nostalgia ain't what it used to be.
No, that's right. I think we can have a debate on that at some point about, you know, how relevant cars are to people because they remember them. You know, because their dad had one or something. But otherwise, I don't know. I don't know whether people are looking at cars in the same way that we do, because there's probably something wrong with us. But there you go.
No small thing, probably.
Yeah.
So in this week's podcast, we have a guest. It's Roland Millward, and Roland's going to tell us all about his own YouTube channel as well. But first of all, there's a challenge, and Roland is doing the challenge this week, not me. He's taking on James Ruppert. So this should be fun. And guess who gets to be judge? The challenge is find a 1980s Italian saloon for less than £10,000 and it cannot be read. And I think we'll hear what Roland's done first. Do you want to tell us, Roland, what you found?
Well, as I expected, finding a 1980s Italian car in good condition or any condition in the UK is slightly difficult due to the fact they used to arrive with rust, many of them, I think. They used to be part of the factory concept, wasn't it? So I thought, well, let's blow the Bangers and Classics budget and let's go to Italy. There's bound to be a few in Italy. So I hope you don't mind, but it may, you know, scupper plans to spend lots of money on EVs and things in the future. But, you know, and they're quite not, unsurprisingly, quite a few nice cars in Italy for sale that aren't red. Alfa Romeos, Lancias, Fiats, and so forth. And I'm almost tempted to go out and bring one back. But I don't think you're paying for this one. This is just theoretical, I believe, isn't it, gentlemen?
Alas, yes.
Yes, alas, yes. Yes. So, saloon. Now, would we count Alfa Romeo Alfetta as a saloon? It's kind of a hatchbacky type style, would we count that?
We'll have that, yeah.
We'll have that one.
Roland, we break the rules all the time.
We break the rules. Well, I could come up with a Lancia Thema, 1986, 2-litre turbo, 167 brake horsepower, nice grey colour, with a beautiful, of its time, beige interior. That's done 146,000 kilometres for €4,500, so probably about £3,000. That's quite good. But I was rather struck for, if you like, classic car future purposes, the Alfa Romeo Alfetta 2-litre, 132 brake horsepower in blue, with a beige slash brown interior. 76,237 kilometres. It looks as sound as a pound underneath it. €7,850, which I think is about £6,300. Excellent condition. It's not a restored, it's as is model. And I thought, well, for that kind of money, for that kind of car, it's not bad going. I don't know what you think, guys.
No, that's good. They're nice cars. They are both nice cars.
Yeah, it's 1981. I don't know if they said the year or not, but 1981.
No, that sounds very good.
Yeah, in Italy, of course, most cars you will find of that era are going to be under 3 litres, because I think it's 2 litres was the tax break in Italy at that time. If you went over 2 litres, you'd pay an awful lot more tax on your car, which is why you got things like the Ferrari 208, rather than 308 in Italy. So yeah, but they are all both good choices. But what I wonder, has Mr. Ruppert come up with? He's been scheming away. I mean, I heard him scheming away during the course of the week, trying to find something to outdo you. So let's see if he's achieved it.
I think Roland's done extremely well. Mm-hmm. And as Roland knows, the only thing that you have to do, quite rightly, is to go to Italy if you want to shop for a decent Italian car. Because, all the ones here are very overpriced. They're very rusty. And they're not always that interesting. You find the really interesting stuff if you go there. So I've gone to Italy as well. I had a tiny bit of a heart failure when you said it mustn't be red, because I completely forgot about that. but it's okay. We don't have to respray it. But yeah, I've gone to 1981 as well for my vehicle. I've gone for an extremely rare beast, which you just don't see. I remember when it came out, but I think I've seen very, very few of them ever in real life. Where would I have to go? I'd go pretty near Rome to pick this up, but it is with a dealer. It's a 1981 Fiat Argenta 2000, i.e. I don't know if you remember those gentlemen at all.
Vaguely,
yeah, that's right. This one is in a sort of an off blue, and it's 6,500 euros. There's other reasons to be interested in it. As I say, it's very, very low mileage. They've spent a bit of money, I think, commissioning it because it has been off the road for a bit. And the reason for that is it actually belonged to a very famous person in Italy, but not at all famous here, but Countess Yoko Nagar.
That is a made-up name, isn't it?
No, it isn't. She actually married a count. If you look her up, she's an interesting old girl. I mean, she's quite dead now, but this was her car, and she's very much in the Yoko Ono mode. But she married count, and he sort of died in mysterious circumstances a few years later, but nothing was proven. So this was obviously her runabout, her tax dodge 2 liter runabout. And as I say, it looks in the pictures like someone's just thrown a bucket of water over it, but there doesn't seem to be any rust on it. They've done some engine work, and it seems all very good. So I just think, yeah, for the complete and utter rarity of it all, it would be worth getting this one. So when this podcast finishes, I'll be on a EasyJet flight to Rome, it'd be nice if Roland could come with me, and he can go and pick up his Alpha, and I'll go and pick up this Argenta.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, I think the Alfetta sounds better, because the Argenta, now I remember it now, it's just really an updated Fiat 132.
It's actually a slightly uglier 132.
I thought so.
It's a very rare car, David, and it was owned by a countess. So, I mean, I've got, you know, it's like I've got two massive ticks there.
The countess.
Very low mileage. I mean, there's another tick. Yeah. Although, really, what I do think is, obviously, because Roland's the guest, he should win. I thought I'd ticked all the boxes there for you, David. I mean, it's almost like a French car what I've chosen there, really.
Yeah. I'm just worried, James, about this countess business. The last time you got involved with a countess, look at all the mess that caused.
Well, it did, didn't it? You know, it was terrible, wasn't it? But
absolutely.
It was all okay in the end, wasn't it? I mean, you know, it was a few.
I'm not quite sure of that. No. I saw him hanging around Curry's the other day looking at dishwashers.
I think it's the ideal car to take to Transylvania, really. Yeah. James, I think, you know, that with its history, it would be fantastic to go to Transylvania with it.
They would just wave me through, wouldn't I? There'd be no passport checks.
The countess, where is the count?
Exactly. So there you go. I will send you a link to this, David, so because you're probably thinking he's making all this up again. You know, he's on his meds again. He's slipped out of his secure institution to do this, but no, this is all true.
Which one? You've been in several, mate.
I have been. I've been in many, yeah. And the school I went to was an approved one, which is a very old joke. Used to tell back in the old days, which means nothing now.
No. Young people today, they don't understand.
They don't, do they?
No.
So that's 1-0. 1-0 to Roland.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, Roland, tell us about your YouTube channel. You do walks.
Yes, it's called Roland's Travels. I'll be retiring in September, or the end of September. So I set up a YouTube channel to really have an interest and to just explain what I see, where I go, that sort of thing. So started it off. So a lot of it is walks at the moment. So covering fairly well where I live in Wiltshire. We've got lots to see around Wiltshire, lots of beautiful villages. And of course, you've got Stonehenge and all the other sites around here. So I've been filming, got more filming to do, trying to find interesting places that people may haven't visited or would like to visit but can't. And, you know, people are all around the world tend to like to watch pictures of England as well and its beauty. And if, when I can finally get up there, David, Scotland as well. It's a place I haven't been yet, so that is on my list to do. And to really show people and look at the history of places, not just show people what you see, but a little bit of history about some of the buildings, that kind of thing. Mm. And maybe getting some of the, if I get permission, getting some of the museums and a few bits of footage in there as well. So it's just something I do. There'll be a few car shows coming up as well. I shall tag those on when I visit those, and other activities that take place in the summer, and really just give people a taste of what there is and they can enjoy it.
It's great that you're doing that, going out and telling stories about the area you live in, because as I say, everywhere's got interesting history. It's all around us.
There is, and everywhere you go, and obviously in school they tend to concentrate on the kings and the queens and the major battles and that kind of thing. But I like what did everyday people do? Mm. Who was born here? What did they do? How did they survive? You know, industrial heritage, that kind of thing that has led to the industry we've got today, you know, the forerunners of it. So all of that fascinates me, and I'm trying to try and bring that into the videos that I make.
Great. Well, hopefully we'll drive some viewers to your channel, because it's a very interesting project.
I was shocked to hear that Roland is retiring, because Roland sounds as though he's about 23 to me. He doesn't sound as though he's retirement age at all.
No, I am actually 65 and I have to work the extra year. Thank you, the previous. Really? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes.
That's terrible.
It is. Oh. Yes, but never mind, you know. Don't want to wish my life away, but I am looking forward to doing a few extra things, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you deserve it.
Thank you,
absolutely,
sir.
Thanks to Roland for appearing, and congratulations on winning the challenge against James. So it was a foregone conclusion, given that I'm the judge and jury.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it, David? There you go.
It was, yes, that was it. That's it. Even if he didn't turn up, he was still winning it.
Well, there you go. But there is something called workplace bullying, David. Do you know what I mean? That's,
yes.
I may have to report you to somebody, but...
I still haven't forgotten some of the jibes from you earlier on.
Really? Oh, I don't know about that. Anyway, Roland is an awfully nice chap.
He is, yes.
So it was very, very nice to have him on. And,
thoroughly nice bloke. Yes, and he's been very supportive of the podcast. He and has for been, that, yeah. we thank him greatly. Hmm. And on that note, we'll take another break. This is the Bangers and Classics podcast, presented by James Rupert and David Malloy, who, let's face it, have been getting away with all sorts of rubbish for a year now. So we're moving into the last segment. We're going to take a trip into the danger zone, as if we're ever anyone else, let's face it. This week's car that's in the danger zone is the Maxi. Took me a little while to find out how many were still licensed in the UK. The number is 215. That's all there are, from a total of about 486,000 that were built. Not all of them were sold in the UK, of course, but a significant majority would have been. So very much a car that is in peril. And... launched, I believe, in 1969. Its claim to fame, I suppose, was that John Lennon crashed one that same year, put it into a ditch in the Scottish Highlands, and then had the car mounted, I believe, on a stand in his back garden. I think we mentioned that in the podcast before, though, James,
didn't
we?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's worth mentioning again, because it's quite a good story. Nobody was seriously hurt. Everybody survived, and except possibly the poor old Maxi. But it was powered by an E-Series engine, only ever available as a five-door hatch. Somewhat challenging looks, and one of the reasons for that was they lumbered it with the doors off the larger Austin Land Crab, which wasn't the best idea, I have to say. They brought out a Maxi 2, which didn't actually look much different to the original, very late in the model's lifetime, which was for the last year or so, which was kind of pointless, but that's what they did. And that's the story of the Maxi in a very small nutshell. James, can you think of any reason why people should rush out and buy a Maxi and save it from extinction?
No. I think there's 214 too many, isn't there? They just put one in a museum and just go, yeah, don't bother making something like that again. So, I mean, it was very good intentioned, but the execution, I think, is what let it down pretty completely. I came across an awful lot of them in the 70s and 80s. We never owned one, but I know lots of people who had them, and they were just universally awful. Gearbox wasn't very good, was it? The gearbox used to be a bit funny and break a lot. It was just it was just very much of its time, badly done. So yeah, you'd have been better off with a Renault 6.
Yeah, 16 was the better car.
Yeah,
I don't think there's much doubt about it. But the Maxi has some plus points.
Did it? All right.
Apparently, so it says it says here that it did. I don't know. Better read from it anyway. It says that it was comfortable.
Yeah.
It was roomy. And you know, it certainly was versatile. You could sleep in a Maxi. That was one of the things you could do.
Yeah, they kept making that point in those adverts, because you waited for the AA, didn't you? You had to stretch out.
It also was involved in an international incident of sorts. Mm. Apparently, a couple from East Germany sneaked through to the West, hidden in the boot of a Maxi.
Well done.
Yeah. I believe British Leyland commissioned some commercials for certain parts of the world using that story as a backdrop. Using that story as a basis. Yeah, that's what I've read anyway. I don't actually know if it was true. I wasn't actually in East Germany at the time. I was probably munching on a Farley's Rusk or something like that back when this happened. But there were some good points about it. It wasn't very attractive, let's be honest. It was a pretty ugly car. It wasn't as reliable as it might have been. It was a typical British Leyland car of that era, if we're being absolutely blunt about it. But it did came from a time. It comes from a time when Britain built its own cars. So that's got to be a plus point. The flaws that it had, the mechanical flaws, largely will have been sorted out by now. You would expect if any survivors shouldn't really give so much problems. And of course, it's a car you can work on yourself, James. Let's never forget these things. A good home mechanic can work on it. And occasionally, I still see one about this. There's one used to be seen around about here during lockdown, a Harvest Gold one. And it was okay, not bad condition. There's another one, I think, locally as well. So there's a couple in sort of my area. I haven't seen them for a bit, so probably into hibernation for a little while.
Yeah.
But it was still a welcome. It was still nice to see them a pleasant enough sight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the E-Maxi is a classic. You couldn't call it that. The execution wasn't great, as you said. There was a car called the Aquila that was based on the Maxi. If you remember the prototype, from 72 or 73. Now, the Maxi should have looked like that. An angular car, very futuristic for its time, much more agreeable styling. If it styled it like that, they would probably have sold a heck of a lot more of them. They'd probably have broken down just as frequently, unfortunately. But there we go. But still, you have to say, with 215 left, it's not a great deal. And it would be nice to see them preserved, just from a personal point of view. Mm. Never really aspired to owning one, never really wanted to own one. But I think they make a decent classic car for someone, and that's how I look at it.
Yeah, fair enough, David.
And you still think they're rubbish, don't you?
I raise my enthusiasm this week after the Renault 18 and Austin Maxi. It's been a bit dreary for me, really. And I lost the challenge as well, David. It's just,
pretty hang awful. On, hang on.
It's been a bad day.
I'm just going to fetch the world's tiniest violin yet again. That's it. It's very, very quiet, so you probably didn't hear that playing in the background. Oh. Why don't you pick the cars next week?
No, that's a bit too much hard work, David. Far too much.
You just can't please this man. No. That's it. See, perhaps when you're rich and famous like James, you can get minions doing all this for you. Thank you very much for listening to the 52nd episode of Bangers and Classics. That's a year already that we've been doing it for, and we've aged about 5 years each in that time, I think. But we are very grateful to you for having listened, and we hope you tune in again next time.
Yeah, thanks very much for listening. Me and Countess Yoko Nagai are off to somewhere or other. I don't know. I'm going to go and buy a car.
Well, just when you mentioned Yoko Nagai.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that car, obviously, one you picked out in the challenge, would have been bought when the Count was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Because he died, I believe, in 1982, and the car was bought in 1981. Yeah. But that is that's a great buy.
Mm.
It's a car with an interesting history.
Yeah.
And, as I said to you the other day, it'd be a brilliant idea to have a museum filled with cars that are interesting only because of their histories.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Interesting owners have been involved in interesting incidents, whatever, that'd be like John Lennon's Maxi, which of course isn't around anymore, but that'd be a fantastic car to have.
Well, we could make one up, one of those ones. I'm a great believer if we build the Bangers and Classics Museum, they will come.
What, the bailiffs? Probably.
Probably. We can't charge for entry, but, you know, it'd be, well, good, well, be a good play, a good rallying point for everybody who listens to the podcast, all three of them.
We could charge, what, 13 amps?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And on that note, cheerio.
Cheerio, everybody.